Election Day, rule over me and mine from some flowery seat in the South. Why shouldn't we rule ourselves again? There sits the only king I mean to bend my knee to. The King of the
Podcastle!
Well, hello, everybody. It has finally come. We are the Kings of the Podcastle. Welcome to episode one, the beginning. I am going to be your gracious host, Mike. Along with me, I, of course, have the Angry Texan.
Yeah! Episode one, baby. Yeah! And I still hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, that's too bad. We have our producer over there in the producer chair, Mr. John Donovan. How are you, sir?
Hi!
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I've had some coffee.
You don't want to see me on too much coffee.
I had some coffee in a shot. I feel okay.
And then, of course, we have Devin, our resident comedian. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. I do not like how you always call yourself a gracious host.
Why am I not gracious?
I'm trying to think of what you've done for me in the past.
Look at the chair you're sitting in, the microphone in front of your face.
And look at the 17-year-old bottle of Crown Royal that he brought.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
He is the gracious one today.
I guess that's true, yes.
You guys should fight.
I think that's a bad idea. Let's talk about our weekend. We had a really riled up weekend.
Yeah!
Let's see. Two of us performed in a comedy show. One of us went and partied like a pirate. And one of us had to work.
Had to work. Yeah.
That's really awesome. Bad.
Let's start with the working guy.
Yeah. How was yours?
What's to talk about, really? I went there. I clocked in. I did some stuff. I talked to people that I really didn't want to talk to.
Yeah.
And then after about 10 hours of all of that, I clocked out and went home.
But you met me up for a beer last night, though.
I did.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
At least you got to go do that.
Yeah.
And how was that beer, by the way?
It was very delicious. It was banana bread beer. And that's the brand name of it.
That
I think it was
disgusting.
Greg.
Yeah,
it was not
disgusting,
man. Actually, it was very
oh
good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's really,
really
good.
It's really good beer.
Okay, well, you guys can go make out after the show.
Yeah. No kidding. What about you, Devin? What did you do?
I got my ass kicked in stand-up.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, it turns out 80-year-old people do not appreciate dick jokes. I did not know that.
What is up with that?
I'm sorry that you had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, it was
the hard
quite
way.
Hey-o. There you go. what about you, Greg? How did you do?
I, on the other hand, was with Devin, and I actually kicked a little ass on stage. I threw out a bunch of Mayberry and Andy Griffith references as opposed to reality TV, and I connected with the 80-something-year-old people.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I had a good time. I had some pretty good laughs.
Did you pick up any hotties afterwards? Some 80-year-old puss, as they would say?
Wow.
Nah, she said she didn't have an extra pair of Depends, so I was just like, well.
I would like it to be also noted that 90% of Greg's stand-up was extremely racist. And there was
no, it wasn't, dude. It was not racist, and those people thought I was funny.
Those people, you heard them. Those people.
No, I just made a Cosby reference. I looked over to...
That's all it takes.
I looked over and said, hey, you saw the Cosby show. And I said, I'm not trying to profile or anything, but that was the next audience member I wanted to call out. So
it was a competition, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, how did you guys do? You lost? So wait, was there like a ranking system? Did you guys get like a third or a fourth?
Claps, yes. Mm-hmm. See, my defense is that the people that actually wanted to vote for me, I'm afraid their arms don't work anymore. Like, that's how old these people were. So
even if they really liked you, they couldn't, show their support.
Greg got claps mainly because his jokes are racist, and he sounds like he's from the South. So they were under the impression if they didn't clap, they would get dragged behind a pickup truck. On the way out.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah. Wow.
But I did have like, all the older people, the senior citizens that saw the show came up to me after the end, and this lady pulled me aside, really close. I thought she was going to try to kiss me at first, but then she put her lips right next to my ear, and she said, I voted for you, dearie.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, thank you so much. I'll see you next Saturday. I'll probably do this competition again.
So are you guys going to do the next Saturday or what?
Probably if I get a chance.
AKA if Devin gives me a ride. So no, neither of us are doing it.
So where was this at? So if you guys do decide to do it again, people can come check it out.
Sleuths. Dinner theater on iDrive.
Oh, okay.
It's actually kind of a cool venue.
Is it like every Saturday night or what?
Yeah.
Every Saturday night, open mic contest. What's the prize? What's the first prize?
It varies. It can be up to $50 cash. Last night it was tickets to like a piano bar and
$50 bar tab.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I love piano bars. Have you guys ever been to a piano bar?
In Fort Worth, Texas, I did.
I went to one in San Antonio, Texas, called Dirty Nelly's in downtown on the Riverwalk. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's like
What's the one in downtown Disney? They have one, don't they? It's like a dueling piano bar, actually. And I think that's their Irish pub, too.
Well, that might be the one we're talking about, the Howl at the Moon, but I don't know the location of it. I've never been to it.
I think it's in downtown Disney. I want to say it's an Irish bar.
No, I won't. Oh, yes, I think that you're
Pleasure
correct
Pleasure Island?
That. No, you're thinking of, goodness gracious, what is that? It's in City Walk.
That's it.
It is an Irish pub, yeah. But the Howl at the Moon is not in downtown Disney.
Let it be noted that I have actually never been to a piano bar.
Oh, my
never?
God, are you serious?
Yeah, dude, piano bars
It's a good
rock.
Time.
I had a gay friend of mine invite me to a pianist bar, but he didn't say pianist. He said something else.
I have a feeling. he meant something else entirely. Yeah. No, the one in San Antonio, though, was an Irish pub, and the guy sat up, the piano was up against the wall, kind of like our piano was here in the studio, and he had a giant mirror, kind of like where your Star Wars band picture would be, so that he could see everybody behind him.
Oh, yeah?
And what they did, instead of passing out menus, they passed out song sheets that had lyrics on it or whatever, and then there was these huge tubs of peanuts. I got many a women out of that bar.
Peanuts.
I loved that place.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, the peanuts.
Did you say peanuts or penis?
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, I'm aroused.
Well, I went and checked out Gasparilla, so I don't know how we got off on piano bars. Sorry about that. But I went out and checked out Gasparilla for the first time. Have you guys ever been to Gasparilla?
What exactly does Gasparilla mean?
Yeah.
Okay, it's something about Jose or something Gaspar. God, you would have to ask me that. I'm not completely ready. But he's like one of the pirates that invaded Tampa centuries ago or whatever, however long ago, back in the pirate days.
Obviously, he was extremely successful.
Winches.
he was apparently very good at it, but they had an invasion yesterday morning where, like, everybody that does all of their, has, like, old, what do you call it?
Reenactment.
Like a reenactment, basically, yeah. And they do a pirate invasion on all these ships. Anybody that wants to participate in it, they all come up on the board. Then there's a big dinner and a festival in the morning. And then what I was in was the parade, and it was pretty awesome. I mean, everybody's dressed up like pirates on the floats.
Of course.
There's all these different crews, and they basically make their float look like a pirate ship. And they have tons of alcohol and scantily clad women and dressed like pirates, and it's on and on and on, and hundreds of thousands of people at this thing.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. How many Jack Sparrows were there?
Oh, there was plenty. Yeah. There were plenty.
Now, I must say that my two friends, Nordy and Pachi, both are deep, hardcore Florida natives.
Uh-huh.
And Pachi being from Tampa, they both told me, when I said, hey, I might go check out Gasparilla with my roommate. And they both said, well, you're a little too old for it. You should have done that in your early 20s. I was like, what are you talking about? Right. I said, I should probably go anyways. That's like, because, that's what I'm attracted to is younger 20-something-year-old to mid-20-something-year-old girls.
Boy.
But they said that, that you won't see a lot of that. Did you see a lot of people our age there? I mean,
actually, yeah, there were a lot of people our age. And I'm surprised that he said that. There were a lot of people not only our age in their mid-30s, but they were also much older, like 40s and 50s.
Is much older.
I'm in my 30s and you're in your 40s, that's a decade. I mean, that's 10 years.
There were no 80 or 90 year old people there because they were at my comedy show last night.
And then there was, of course, all the college kids, because there's a couple of campuses right down there by Bayshore that that are going on. So it was a mix of all kinds of people.
But they split up the night parade from the day parade, because I heard the night parade is where it really gets crazy.
Apparently,
tops coming off.
Yeah.
Like, look at my hee you know.
Well, it's like the closest thing that you can get to Mardi Gras here in Florida, for sure. Like the New Orleans style Mardi Gras. I mean, the streets were lined with people.
And you can drink alcohol on the streets.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily like you're not going to get in trouble for having a beer in a cup.
Yeah.
But I think if you like they said no glass on any of the floats, you know, they had their list of rules and all that stuff.
So no beer bottles.
No beer bottles and stuff like that. No glass on the boats, but you know, everybody brought a cooler of something. And most of the crews had specialty drinks like Jello shots or whatever, and you could just during the pre-parade, like because everybody had to line up around 12:30.
Yeah.
The parade didn't even start till 2, but everybody was in line about 12:30, and we were walking around in the parade backstage, basically going along to all the floats and meeting new people and trying their specialty drinks. There were like these syringes that had Jello shots in them that
really?
They shoot.
That's
in
new. I've never heard of that before. How inventive.
They also had something that I hadn't seen before, which was vodka gummy bears. Have you guys ever
seen that? I've had that before.
Oh, you have? Yeah. I don't
that
even know how they
like
made them.
Sounds like a pedophile's dream. Hey, child, would you
easy,
like some candy?
Easy. Episode one, baby. Episode one.
All right. Well, we basically bragged about how awesome our weekends were. Sorry, John, that you had to work. That always sucks.
Me but, too.
Let's move on to some more serious stuff. So last time in our last teaser, we talked a little bit about Monte Teo and his ex-girlfriend. Have you guys heard all of the updates on all of this?
Have not.
Yes.
Update us.
Okay. Well, apparently Monte Teo, he did an interview with Katie Couric. I'm sure everybody got to see it. And there were some voicemails that he played or that she got a hold of. They are on the website, CBSNews.com. You can go check them out. But I'm going to play one of them for you now where she's crying. And apparently these voicemails were done by a man, but you be the judge. Tell me what you think. Here we go.
I don't know who answers your phone. I don't care. This is my last time trying. You need to play what you want.
Wow.
What the hell?
That was a man's voice, right?
That was a man?
Supposedly it was a man,
and
yeah.
When is Pixar going to pick this dude up to do voiceovers
yeah,
for
no
the
kidding.
Next female?
That was pretty good.
That was not bad. See, whenever I do a female voice, I talk like this, and they want to touch my titties. I mean,
I actually got aroused by that.
You did?
Sorry.
that was her. Like I guess accusing him of having another woman in the room. I don't know. I guess they were fighting.
And she apparently this made up girlfriend had cancer. Was the thing,
yeah,
right?
That was the thing. Yeah, she died of cancer.
Okay, so they have an online relationship, and she's going to get mad because he's in the room, but she can't get her lazy, fictitious ass up to come and see him?
Well, hold on. It gets even worse here. Milton Grimes, who is the lawyer for the apparent mastermind behind all of this, because what Monte Teo is saying now is that he basically was not in on the hoax, but he did prolong it and let it go even once he realized there was something else going on. He still let the story keep going
right.
in the media.
He didn't debunk it or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Milton Grimes is apparently the lawyer for Renaya Tuisesopo.
Gesinta.
Anyone?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Tuisesopo, that sounds like I've heard that name before.
Here.
Like there's somebody.
read that right there. Tell me what you think it says.
Milton Grimes? That sounds like.
Tuisesopo.
It sounds like he's a board game maker. Or
yeah, or he twists his mustache like, yeah, it's my client.
That name
she's
is.
Here to accuse.
Yeah, I'm dastardly. He has a little dog named Muttley. Yeah, I get it. No, I've heard that name before. Is there like another professional athlete that has that name?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. But
maybe you dated her.
Milton Grimes says that apparently the hoax was a one-man show and that it is Renaya on the phone impersonating a woman's voice. He also says that, and this is a quote, "This wasn't a prank to make fun. It was establishing a communication with someone. It was a person with a troubled existence trying to reach out and communicate and have a relationship." So apparently, if Renaya Tuisesopo, whatever his name is.
Let's just say RT.
Yeah, well, I'll just say Renaya. RT. Yeah, RT. That's
Let's
good.
Just
okay,
call
so
it some dumb bitch.
Apparently, RT had a problem, and he didn't know how to come out and say, "Hey, I'm interested in having a relationship with you, but I don't know if you're into that or not."
That's insane.
You know, I think that Monte Teo should be like, you know what? Hey, Fox, can you bring back celebrity boxing? Because I have somebody I want to meet in the ring. I'm going to whoop somebody's ass.
God.
And beat the... Dude, if that happened to me, I'm sorry. I'd like keep it on a down low, and I would find where that dude is, and I would slap him until I was tired. I would choke him with my bare hands. My bare hands. Around his throat. Screw gun control and all that. I got my bare hands. I'm going to put them around that dude's mouth for and throat and slap him around. And then I'm going to make him. And as I'm slapping
keep
him.
Keep going.
And as I'm slapping him, I'm going to have him talk to me in that voice again. Say it one more time. Say it. And then just start slapping.
I feel like I should call and report this right now.
Like, it's already, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Gawker.com has compiled some clips from the interview, apparently, that really make Monty look bad, but it's basically just a series of awkward answers that don't make any sense. But there is also a clip online that you can check out. It's Katie asking if Monty is gay. And Monty laughing and saying, quote, no, far from it, far from it, and then laughing again.
And then he says, actually, Monte Teo is Hawaiian for manatee lover. So I'm not even interested in humans.
So with all of that in mind, I kind of wanted to get into online dating, because that's how all of this really kind of took place.
Oh, buddy, here we go.
So, you know, Monty claims that he met her on Facebook, and that's how they kind of, you know, got to knowing each other and talking through there, and then it came into phone calls, and then there were voicemails, and on and on and on. He never knew if this person was real. So, I know that a couple of you, if not all three of you, at one time or another, have participated in online dating. How has it gone for you? Have you ever found a girl that wasn't real, like maybe, or even just like a different woman than what the picture was, anything like that?
I did one time about a year ago. I was experimenting on the online dating when I was really busy and all that crap, you know, and we talked for maybe 10 minutes, and then she was already like, hey, do you want to come pick me up and let's go get a hotel room? You have to pay. And I'm like, this sounds like a setup. And then I started thinking to myself, and then I saw her pictures and everything. I was like, what if this is made up? And I go pick this girl up, and all of a sudden I get tackled, and there's Chris Hansen going, say, you shouldn't have come over here, you know? And I'm like, okay.
Have a seat.
Yeah, have a seat. Have a seat on the ground with the SWAT team in their knee in the back. I was like, so I looked at everything that we talked about, and I didn't say anything wrong. And it's just all of a sudden this girl busts out and is like, oh, hey, do you want to go and have sex all night? And you pay for the hotel room. I was like,
and
red flags started going all around.
Red flag going.
I guess I'm going to go to the bar and see if I can find an actual real person that wants to talk.
What about you, John? How was
I
your
paid
life?
For that hotel room, damn it. You never showed.
What about you, John? Did you have better luck, worse luck?
No. I know Greg was online dating for a while, and he was...
A while? I checked it from time to time, Dick.
Well, you were pretty successful because you... I don't know.
Lowered your standards.
I'm not trying to blow smoke or anything, but you did good. You were always out on dates
for a while, buddy. Yeah. You were kind of.
I was. I
you were kind of like the king of online dating. You should have been like the poster boy for Plenty of Fish.
And for all the listening ladies out there, I'm really not doing it anymore. I keep my account open just for possibilities. So there's the online dating. You get on the podcast. You email me at greg@kingsofthepodcastle.com.
That's right. Okay.
I tried online dating.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, tell us the story.
Well, it kind of pisses me off because every single profile I click on, the woman says, I'm looking for a man that can make me laugh.
Okay.
And my profile picture is me standing in front of the improv sign in front of a crowd of 250 people doing stand-up comedy.
Right.
And I have gotten zero replies.
Wow. Zero?
Zero.
Well,
yeah. Maybe
it's your overly tallness, you know. They're afraid. They're
either
afraid
that
of
or
you.
The fact that I message them like, what up, want the dick? And they don't
respond to that?
They don't respond to that.
That's weird.
I am
surprised by that.
I just kind of... Put myself out
strange.
There first. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We don't want to sit here and just talk for an hour long straight. So we're going to take a quick break. We don't want you guys to go anywhere, though, because we're going to come right back here in about 60 seconds. We're going to give you a little public service announcement from the Angry Texan while we're on our break. So enjoy that. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the new director for the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7 film, and Rolling Stone has a new list of the 50 funniest people out. We'll be discussing that here on Kings of the Podcastle in 60 seconds.
And now a public service announcement brought to you by The Angry Texan.
Hi, The Angry Texan here with a public service announcement. 2012 was a horrible year for a lot of sports fans, namely the Dallas Cowboys. I share this sorrow with all Cowboys fans. Being in Central Florida, it is hard to cheer for the Cowboys when surrounded by a melting pot of different sports fans from around the country. Thanks to Tony Romo's sad season, I've had to hear it all. Tony Homo, Cowgirls, the list goes on. And everyone seems to think they are original every time they say it to me. So to all of the Cowboy haters, I say this. Grow up. Concentrate on cheering on your teams. Show some class when in the sports bar. And lastly, go f*** yourself. Thank you. And have a great 2013.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by The Angry Texan.
Hey, we're the Kings of the Podcastle. We're back here. Hope you enjoyed that little service public service announcement from The Angry Texan. Check us out at kingsofthepodcastle.com. You can email us now, Mike, Greg, John, or Devin at kingsofthepodcastle.com. Or if you just want to hit all of us, you can actually hit send an email to kings@kingsofthepodcastle.com. So once again, that's Mike, John, Greg, or Devin at kingsofthepodcastle.com or kings@kingsofthepodcastle.com. We also have a Facebook page. You want to check that out. We got all kinds of ways you can reach out to us, so make sure that you're doing that. Go to iTunes and subscribe. That's the big one, though. Go
you're
to
such
iTunes
a publicity whore.
I am. Yeah, I got to be. You got to let them know, man.
We will come to your house.
We will come to your house. That's right. Go to iTunes and subscribe is the biggest one, though. So if you can do that for us, that'd be great. We don't want to have to choke you out. So J.J. Abrams is...
Speaking of choking,
yeah,
horse choke is in his future.
Oh, yes. J.J. Abrams will be, it looks like, is directing the 7th Star Wars film. If you don't know who J.J. Abrams is, I'll let Devin or Greg explain it to you, because I'm not really sure either. Who is this guy?
He's awesome. He really is. But he's going to piss off a lot of diehard sci-fi nerds that are either one side Star Trek or one side Star Wars.
Yeah, because he actually directed the new Star Trek. He actually is the creator of Lost.
Oh, he
the
is.
The director.
He's the guy that did Lost?
Yeah, so at the end of this Star Wars, actually, it's all going to be that they all died in episode one.
And, and that it was all just a dream.
Yeah, the entire thing, they were just trying to find their soul.
Because I'm pretty sure that's how Loss ended, and it definitely pissed some people off, including myself.
It pissed me off. I'm still mad. I'm actually getting really angry just talking about this. So
I can tell by the shakiness in your voice.
Well, the most recent thing that he did, of course, was the reboot of Star Trek, which was, I thought, totally awesome.
And the new previews for the new one, and they're bringing back Khan. I mean, you can't replace Ricardo Montalban, but... it does look pretty awesome. The trailer looks awesome.
You're a big Star Trek fan, I'm learning right now. I didn't realize.
I'm just a sci-fi nerd. I grew up, I'm one of the guys that, like, when I was a kid, I had Star Trek toys and Star Wars, and they coexisted.
I was a big Lost in Space.
Me too.
Man.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lost in Space?
Yeah, that's way back. They they were in reruns when I was a kid.
I love the reruns.
That's old.
Yeah, wasn't that like the Danger Will Robinson robot and all that stuff?
Indeed.
Danger Will Robinson.
And I always thought the professor guy, is that what he was? I always thought he had a thing for little Will. Please, William, please.
Here we are appealing to our 50-year-old audience.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, apparently back in November, he said, quote, Star Wars is one of my favorite movies of all time. I was never a big Star Trek fan growing up. So for me, working on Star Trek didn't have any of that, you know, almost fatal sacrilege. So I guess he's really didn't even have his heart in the Star Trek reboot.
And then Disney said, here's the check. You put the number of zeros you want on it. And he said, yes, I would actually change my mind. Right.
But even George Lucas would have said that if it wasn't for Gene Roddenberry's vision of Star Trek, he never would have really thought of Star Wars.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that name, George Lucas, because I have a little story here about him. Apparently, there's some talk that George Lucas put a Mickey Mouse head in The Empire Strikes Back.
What?
Yeah. George Lucas's relationship with Disney is relatively new, but his love for Disney apparently goes way back. I don't know how this went unnoticed for so long, but Lucas apparently slipped an homage to Disney into the Star Wars movie, Empire Strikes Back, and that was the one that came out 33 years ago. So it's not like he went in whenever he did all the animation stuff and put one in. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he did it way back in the day. Let's see.
I do that too, actually. Sometimes when I'm having sex with a girl, I slip a little mouse in there.
And wow. Unbelievable.
So I say this is for Disney, and then I did it.
It's a small world after all.
Oh my God.
This is nothing new.
Nothing new. This is like something that goes on every day in the sex life of Devin, apparently. Holy moly. Let's see. It says that someone discovered it during the fight between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. There's a crystal Mickey Mouse head clearly visible in the background.
Huh.
So make sure that you check that out the next time you see that movie.
I'm off tomorrow. I will be probably trying to find that.
Yeah. I think we have that down on DVD downstairs, don't we?
I think we do. I think we got it.
Is there any casting rumors yet?
Casting? No, they do not have any rumors of the casting. But who would you like to see?
They had already rumored that they were going to bring back Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, because Mark Hamill apparently the storyline, because they had the guy from Toy Story 3, apparently that was the rumor that he was going to be writing the actual screenplay for it, and he had already been in cahoots with George Lucas before the final sale of LucasArts and Industrial Light and Magic.
So, Carrie Fisher is going
to
do.
She's going to.
Is she going to be like the son of Jabba the Hutt?
Well, this is the daughter of Carrie of Princess Leia when she was with Jabba. They had a kid together. You know?
Is she going to be addicted to some kind of future space drug or something?
If she can get on a treadmill and start sticking her finger down her throat, man, she can get back to what she used to be. Because every nerd in the world, and I don't care if you're a nerd or not, if you watched Return of the Jedi as a kid or a teenager,
oh yeah,
you look at that brass bra thing she had.
Oh yeah, the gold bikini, man. That's still a fantasy of mine.
It's big time.
Oh man, I mean, I swear, anytime that they have one of these Star Wars conventions or anything like that that's going on, I always surf the web for pictures because I want to see the girls in the gold bikini.
I had a girlfriend that actually bought one of those, and
you're kidding me.
She put it on.
And what's going on with you, man? Like,
yeah.
Where are you in this?
And then I slipped her the mouse, and she was done.
She was done.
She ran.
Oh my God. I don't know who I would like to see, though, in the lead role. I definitely don't want to see another. What was the kid's name that did all the reboots?
The young Anakin's?
Yeah. No, not the young Anakin. The guy that went on. He actually
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Somehow that guy still gets hired for stuff, and he makes everything horrible. Yeah. I hate that guy.
Mm. I know, but like that's the history of George Lucas, is giving people a chance to shine, you know? And Mark Hamill wasn't anything big. There was a lot of people that had auditioned for Star Wars, and then later on, you know, they released the screen test for him. I mean, Harrison Ford was just a guy that was there to read the part of Han Solo.
And who was supposed to play that part?
I remember one was Kurt Russell was supposed to.
Really?
Robin Williams actually did screen tests as Chewbacca. He just took off his shirt. And exactly like him.
Well, it's almost like you know exactly what's coming up, Greg, because that was going to be the next thing that I wanted to talk about was
it's
movie
almost
roles.
Like he has a schedule in front of him.
I know. It's weird. It's almost like we're organized. But
ESP.
There's apparently a new list of roles that people have turned down here in front of me that I have here. Let's see. The Shining apparently was offered to Robin Williams instead of Jack Nicholson. Can you imagine The Shining?
That would have been
Robin
interesting.
Williams?
Yeah,
Robin Williams did a horror movie.
He did. What was that one?
Patch Adams.
No. That was pretty bad.
No, but it was like something. It was like something to do with film.
It was photo. One hour.
Yeah, that wasn't a horror film. It was just like psychological thriller type thing.
Yeah, but he's really really good at playing a dramatic role. I mean, for a guy who is way wacky and funny, and
he was also
hysterical.
The bad guy in that movie with Al Pacino, I think.
Yeah, that was called Insomnia.
Yep.
And he was the murderer in that. And then, of course, if you Good Will Hunting, where he plays a psychiatrist for Matt Damon, he was phenomenal in that. He wasn't a bad guy at all. He was a good guy, but it was a dramatic role.
Yeah.
So it was outside of his normal realm, I guess.
Right.
When the hell is he going to come back and do Mork and Mindy? They need to have like a, he comes back in Nanu Nanu. You know, I grew up watching that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Mork and Mindy? Who didn't? Come on.
People born after you?
or people who had things to do, like football after school?
Dude, that's how Robin Williams really got a big start.
He did.
No, yeah. I know
actually, when The Shining came out, is right when Mork and Mindy was in its heyday. So that would have been, like, really
strange.
He would
have been a really young Robin Williams, wouldn't he have been?
Yep.
Because Mork and Mindy, I mean, he was, like, probably in his early 20s, wasn't he?
I don't know.
It seems like it. But also another one on the list here. Robin Williams. We just talked about him. Molly Ringwald passed on the chance to star in Pretty Woman, which obviously went to Julia Roberts. Can you imagine that movie without Julia Roberts?
Wow.
No.
It wouldn't have got the reviews either.
Yeah.
No way.
Ringwald's cute, but she's not like sexy.
She was still, she was still the girl next door, I think, when Pretty Woman came out, and everybody knew her from 16 Candles. And
it would have turned into this weird, like, awkward woman who didn't, you know, that's what she always plays.
Yes.
Is like, she's kind of awkward, but she's cute, and you want to kind of get to know her.
Can you imagine her in the scene where, like, she's like, so, I have these condoms, blah, 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 I got, you know, and doing all that bit, you'd be looking at her like, oh, that's the funny part, you know?
To Kelly McGillis was, you know, Kelly McGillis?
Yeah.
From Top Gun.
Yep,
she was the blonde in Top Gun. She was considered for the leg-spreading role in Basic Instinct before they ended up offering it to Sharon
Stone. I could see that happening.
Now, which beaver shot would you have rather had?
Both.
I don't know. Kelly.
If I was a director, I'd be like, we need a screen test of every single woman trying out for this.
Right now. We're gonna have to
put that on tape. There's no lines in the script. Yeah, you just part your legs. That's about it.
Well, something tells me that Kelly McGinnis might have had a little
McGillis,
whatever. She might have had a little hang down the monkey, you know.
I don't know what that means.
Wow.
Let's see.
Have you ever gone to Arby's and got a roast beef sandwich and turned it sideways?
It looks like a poorly packed suitcase. Val Kilmer was also considered for Patrick Swayze's role in Dirty Dancing. How many of you guys have seen Dirty Dancing?
So was Billy Zane, though.
Billy Zane was on that
Billy
role?
Zane was, yes. You can look it up.
I don't want to look it up.
Oh.
I want you to tell me it and just know that it's true, and then the listener is allowed to go and look it up themselves.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Let's see here.
There's another one, actually. Did you know that when they were casting Twilight, they suggested Kristen Stewart, and then somebody else suggested Brittany Murphy after she died?
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Because play the crickets for me. There you go.
Sparklers. Same thing.
Anyway.
I'm going to work on that joke. Okay, and I'm going to bring it back.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Let's see. Ewan McGregor turned down the part of Neo in The Matrix. Can you see that?
No.
See, The Matrix to me was actually, I think, made for Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
If it would have been anybody else, that movie would have been terrible.
Right.
I just thought that he finally did something good. Like everything else that he did was kind of, you know, it was hit, obviously. That's why they're offering him parts, but I just never considered him a good actor until that movie.
Right, because he always played the, I'm a dumb dude from California.
Yeah. That sounds awesome, dude. That was pretty good.
That was really good. Yeah.
In studio today, we have Keanu Reeves joining us.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
So, Keanu, how was it playing in The Matrix? Did you enjoy that movie?
I'm really high right now.
Okay, Keanu's left the building.
I guess so, yeah. Let's see. Let's do one more. Mel Gibson turned down the role of the Gladiator, the lead role in Gladiator.
No way!
Yeah, could you see Mel Gibson doing that?
That would have been, I think it would have been badass.
Well, I liked Russell Crowe in it, but yeah, I think that one I could actually switch out, and it would have been just fine.
Does this not please you, sugar tits?
All right. Let's move on. Rolling Stone magazine has posted a list of the 50 funniest people around today. Louis C.K.
is
their number one pick. Now, who is Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K. He's hilarious. He's had his own show.
Louis?
Louis. I forget what network carries it. I've never seen that show at all.
Yeah, it's on FX, I believe.
Look his stand-up up on YouTube. I think he's got a couple of things on Netflix.
Gotcha.
And he's been on Comedy Central.
Yeah, he's been on Comedy Central. He's hilarious.
All right, well, I have the list here in front of me, just the top 20. I just have the top 20. So give me some of your... Who do you think should be on this list, at least in the top 20?
I
like Dimitri Martin.
Nowhere near.
Big. How about... Anthony Jeselnik.
Nope. Actually, he's gotten a lot of props. Yeah, he really is.
Think a little bit more classic and a little bit more new.
Wait. Are we talking all alive?
Okay, what about Dane Cook?
I think everybody on this list is alive, yeah. No, Dane Cook is not in the top 20. Sorry.
Wow. Mm-mm. He's really pop, though.
If Jay Leno's on there, we can just burn the shit.
Yeah. Right. Like, well, I don't usually agree with everything that Rolling Stone comes out with.
Conan O'Brien.
With these low lists. Conan O'Brien is not in the top 20. No.
Okay, listen. Why are we even here? Why did you print that out?
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, listen. Let's go with it. We'll just list them off here. Number 20 is Marc Maron.
And next?
Don't know.
Okay. 19 is David Cross. He's the...
Yes.
He's great. With bald guy. Bald head
with the glasses.
And
he really goes on about anti-religious stuff. And
Yeah.
A lot of people will probably be turned off, but
Gervais has got to be in there.
Ricky Gervais, yeah.
Yeah, he's number 16, actually.
Good.
Let's see. 18 is Howard Stern.
Okay. He is not... I'm sorry.
I don't think that he's that funny. His show is funny, but I don't think that he's a funny person.
I mean, he does the same thing over and over. Oh, we're going to have hookers in the studio. Oh, we're going to have this. We're going to have that. And it's the same crap over and over. It's like the dude has no concept of getting anything new.
I mean, every time he brings another woman in and she's topless, it's like, okay, I've seen it.
I've seen it since the 80s, since you've been popular.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, off subject, when we took a break, did we leave the dog outside?
We might have.
Because I think I hear him barking at
us. That's awesome. Screw him. We can wait another 5 minutes until we go on the next break. Let's see here. Larry David, number 12. Number 14 is Will Ferrell.
I could see Will Ferrell, yeah.
Number 11, Zach Galifianakis.
Yes.
Okay. Obviously. And number 10 is one of your favorites, John, Kristen Wiig.
Oh, God.
Number 9, Bill Hader. Number 8 is Girls creator and star Lena Dunham, which I guess she's funny.
Does she do stand-up? Or?
No, she is funny.
Oh, she is? Yeah, okay. Number 7, Chris Rock. Number 6, Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Number 5, South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt
Stone. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
For sure.
I could put them at the top
genius.
Of the list.
Yeah,
those guys
absolutely.
Are comedic geniuses.
Yeah, and if they ever listen to this show, I want to tell them, like, hey, we're inspired by you guys. Thank you so much for making us laugh.
And Greg will lick your boots.
I will lick your boots.
Is Seth MacFarlane on there?
No, he's not. Not in the top
really?
20, but remember, I only got the top 20 in front of me. Number 4, Jon Stewart. Number 3, Tina Fey. Number 2 is Stephen Colbert, which I absolutely love that guy.
Yeah, but Tina Fey, she's all right, but really put her up that high? I can see her maybe in the top 30.
She's
her show is pretty popular right now, 30 Rock, so
that's
probably why she's on there.
She writes a lot of the stuff,
right.
or used to write. I'm not sure if you still a writer
writes,
on SNL.
Yeah, well, she writes for 30 Rock.
She writes for 30 Rock.
She was one of the writers behind Baby Mama, and I thought that was a good movie.
That actually was a good movie.
Baby Mama.
Amy Poehler, they're definitely a great team together. They should have been listed like Matt Parker and Trey Stone.
Right.
Well, I mean,
Trey Parker, Matt
I don't
Stone.
Think they're no tour.
One of them. Yeah, they're going to love it whenever they listen to you get their names backwards.
Sorry, that was brought to you by the limited edition Crown Royal that we're having.
All right, well, let's take another break. We got to go let the dog in, so we'll be back here in just a minute. But while we're gone, you're going to get a little bit of the refined rhyme. We have a resident poet here at the Realm Studios. Every week on Kings of the Podcastle, you might get a refined rhyme from Jackson Mehoff. So enjoy that. We'll be back in about 60 seconds on Kings of the Podcastle. And now a refined rhyme from Jackson Mehoff.
My mother caught me jerking it when she walked into the room. My mother caught me jerking it. My cock was turning blue. My mother caught me jerking it, and it scars me to this day. 'Cause when my mother caught me jerking it, she asked if she could stay.
This has been a refined rhyme from Jackson Mehoff. Hey, we're the Kings of the Podcastle. Thanks for hanging out with us here. It's been a great show so far. I think we've covered most of the hot topics. We're going to move into some lighter stuff for this segment. Don't forget, you can check us out at kingsofthepodcastle.com. Shoot us an email, kings@kingsofthepodcastle. And, of course, go to iTunes and make sure you subscribe. That's the big one right there. Make sure you subscribe. Go to iTunes. in their podcast section in the iTunes store. You can search for Kings of the Podcastle, find us there, and subscribe. And let us know what you think so far.
And it's free.
That's right. It is. That's absolutely free. And you can get what is the podcast app for iPhone. And what is the one for Android you send?
Beyond Pod.
So you can get it on your phone, listen to it in the car, and enjoy more of the Kings at your leisure. And
why not?
Yeah, why not?
Or your leisure.
Whatever. So like I said, let's move on to some lighter topics here for this last block, this last segment.
We're going
to
talk about Bix.
All right, we can talk about softcore.
All right. this one... boy. I just can't move on after something like that. I try really hard. It just doesn't work. This is a funny and interesting story that I think that I came across looking while we were prepping for the show. It sounds like the average man takes 75 minutes to get ready, and get this, the average woman only takes 70 minutes. So now,
is the average man Christopher Reeves?
Well, I don't think it takes him very long to get ready anymore. this is interesting to me because, John, I mean, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And you take forever.
I'm thorough.
I mean, but the thing is, what gets me about it is that it's like that. It's like this is the age that this is what we've come to.
Yeah.
Where men are taking longer than women to get ready to go out. What's up with that?
And you don't look metrosexual.
No.
You don't, but
it takes that long to make this happen.
I mean, and
it's sad to say.
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Things just keep getting better.
How long, Greg, do you say it takes you? Like, if you're getting ready to go out for the night, like, let's say you have a date and you're getting ready to go out, how long would you say you need to get ready?
Maybe 30 minutes at the max.
30 minutes max? I would say if I was getting ready to go out on a date, 30 minutes would probably be about it. Like, if I'm getting up to go to work in the morning,
right,
I'm out the door. I can be out the door in 10 minutes, 15 minutes flat. I just wake up, take a quick shower, brush my teeth, throw on some deodorant, and throw the clothes on and head out.
And you said, and the key word here, quick shower. You are bald on top. You do not have hair
maintenance. No shampoo, no conditioner.
I do use shampoo.
Why?
Because I want my scalp. I want my scalp to be nice and smooth.
You could do that with soap.
Bald people use shampoo.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't. I have some hair up here. I mean, I don't shave it with a Bic, you know, or whatever, with a razor. I always just use the clippers enough to take it down. You know what I mean? So that there's still hair there. And girls love it, by the way, when they
really
run their hair through that, and it's all nice and soft.
And my colleagues here agree with me that you need to grow the Jean-Luc Picard look.
No.
You have to. No,
make it so.
Hey, seriously, if you're hearing this right now, if we get enough emails, we're going to make this dude do it. So email us at kingsofthepodcastle.com and voice your opinion. If you want him to look like Jean-Luc Picard, seriously, it will be awesome.
No, that's a terrible idea.
No, it's not a great idea.
You know Sir Patrick Stewart is actually coming to MegaCon this year in Orlando in a month. It would be awesome if we got a picture of you two next to each other, looking like each other. It's
$80.
$80? I will chip
You're
in 20.
Throw that in?
I will chip in 20.
You could put your heads together and make an ass out of yourself. Hi-oh.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. John, you take... describe your what it takes so long for you to get ready for. I just want to know.
I don't know about you.
Not fap.
What is a fap? I don't understand.
What a fap is?
No, what's a fap?
What does it sound like? Fap. What does it sound like?
It sounds like skin slapping together.
That I'm roughing up the suspect in the shower. Is that what you're suggesting?
It sounds like we're going out of the realm of soft material
hard material.
Okie dokie. I think I got it now.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Here's some. We'll just pass that. Obviously, John does some other things while he's getting ready. 42% of men surveyed use a hairdryer. Hairdryer, everyone.
Hairdryer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
really?
What? Look at your hair.
I know. Well, you see, I mean, I just got up before we did this, okay?
Yeah.
So you see this little tuft?
Yeah.
If I don't do something with that, it's going to stick up all day, and people are going to be like, why is your little peninsula sticking straight up?
Well, it looks kind of good like that.
Tell
them
your nickname is the rooster.
You look like Doug.
Yeah.
I look like you look like Quail Man right now.
But see? you can also bring it straight forward and look like Squiggy.
Even worse.
There's an old reference right there. Squeaky.
These are all great suggestions. Thank you. I'll stick with the
Now, Devin, you're the one that has... Well, actually, you and Greg both have pretty much a full head of hair, but you have the most currently because of Greg's haircut. Do you use a hairdryer?
That would involve actually taking a shower at some point.
That's what that smell was.
I knew it.
I thought you were cooking garlic downstairs.
Oh, no,
Mike.
No.
I do not use a hair dryer.
You do not?
I'm sorry. Hair dryers are in the women's cosmetology section.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
Yeah, the only time I use a hair dryer is whenever I'm blow drying Buster after he's had a bath.
Right,
that's just as gay. I'm sorry.
No, what? No, he's a dog. You got to take care of him.
You do not blow dry a dog.
You can't.
Is Buster
let him...
a male dog?
Yeah,
he is a male dog.
See, queering up the dog.
No, you can't.
No wonder he humped my dog when he came over.
No, you can't say that because
Devin, you have a very valid point on that.
Yeah. No, the dog has to get blow dried. You can't let him run around the house as a wet mop.
Because he'll get sick, first of all.
Actually, that's a new idea. Why don't we just put up a baby gate in the kitchen, and that way he could just roll around on the floor, kitchen mop, dog wet, problem solved.
Hilarious. Another percentage here, 88% groom themselves down below at least once a week. 88% of men surveyed.
Once a month for me.
Yeah, how often? Anyone here?
Every time I take a shower.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Manscaped City.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Not me. If you pull my pants down, it looks like a baby bird in a bird nest.
Looks like a poorly edited kung fu flip. Not that I've seen it or anything.
When a woman comes over, does she chew up her food and then try to spit it on it?
God almighty. 98% of the men surveyed plan out their outfits in advance. Who doesn't do that, really? I mean,
I don't.
You don't?
No.
You don't say, I'm going to wear this shirt tonight and these jeans, let's put them on the bed, and then go take a shower.
Occasionally, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm too busy trimming down below. Dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When I auditioned for the Michael Bay movie earlier this year, I picked that out the night before. When it's something really big and I want to look my absolute church best,
yeah,
then I'll do it the night before, but usually it's just throw something on and it's probably gonna say Pantera and then I just out the door.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I am too. Let's see here, 76% of the men surveyed end up trying on a few different things before they settle on what they're going to wear.
No waste of time.
Really?
Yeah, you know what's in you know what's in your closet. You know how it looks on you.
Was this survey taken at an Elton John concert?
Yeah, no kidding.
The survey out of San Francisco.
Orlando for that matter.
Or Orlando, yeah. No, actually, I don't see anything wrong with that because sometimes I'll put on a shirt and then just go, you know what? I'm not feeling this shirt, and then I'll throw on something else.
AKA, I look fat in it.
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, this one's a little tight.
Yeah.
Let me get the bigger one.
Especially like after Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then you're like, oh, let me get that shirt that I love for New Year's. Year's Eve, and you're like, whoa, wait, I ate a lot of food. This is really not hiding the fat rolls.
So you're saying that I'm the only one that's ever thrown on an outfit and then decided that was not a good outfit for me and then throw on another one?
Oh, no. I'm defending you.
Oh, you are?
Okay. Yeah. My tub of shit, you know, I'm the same way. Like, I there's like five or six shirts in my closet that I really like to wear right now, but my fat asses need to get on a diet, you know?
Okay, they also found in this survey that the average man owns 4 pairs of shoes, 5 pairs of jeans, 17 shirts, and 11 pairs of socks. Where do you guys fall on that? About right?
Roughly about right for me, yeah.
This is not an exaggeration, and everybody who knows me knows this. I have 2 closets full. I probably have an upwards of 150 shirts.
Are you serious?
Yep. And I have pants... I don't know, probably like close to that number, but for some reason, shirts, man, I like buying shirts.
And you were calling me a girl.
I know. And you're saying that you have 150 shirts to choose from, and you've never put one on, gone, no, this isn't it, and then thrown on another one.
No,
and when you walk into Kohl's, do they say, hey, Devin?
Why would I shop at Kohl's?
I don't know.
I didn't realize Kohl's
unless they
would
are a sponsor that will possibly have ads on our show later, in which case I shop there frequently.
Yeah, if you're listening, Kohl's, Kayla, give us a spot. Come on.
All right, let's move on. There is something very exciting happening next weekend. Is everybody super excited about the Super Bowl?
Why are you even asking me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But go Ray Lewis, because I have a feeling he is going to murder somebody on that. No.
Well,
they
say that it's going to be the Harbaugh Bowl, but since Ray Lewis is playing his last game, I like to call it the Goodbye Double Homicide Bowl.
Yeah, wow.
Indeed.
It's not bad. That was okay.
It was okay.
It doesn't have the quite ring to it, though.
I tried.
You lose just like the person Ray Lewis stabbed.
Well, the...
Wow.
Let's see. So with that in mind, with you not being excited about it, is anybody in the room really excited about the Super Bowl?
I mean, yeah, I like watching football.
Exactly.
I'm not excited about the teams that are playing.
What are you more excited about watching in the game?
The game itself.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to the most? The game itself? What?
The commercials are going
to
be funny.
That's exactly what I was trying to lead you into. Yes, yeah, the commercials. Exactly. Everybody is super excited, more excited about the commercials than
they are the
itself.
Game. Right.
Yeah, it says in this new survey that 39% of people say that the commercials are their favorite part of the Super Bowl. Only 28% actually went with the game. But wow. I could agree with that, you know?
I mean,
especially if your team's not in it.
Right.
You know, if your team's not in it, then what the hell do you really
And historically, can? The commercials are extremely entertaining.
Yeah, my favorite is that little beaver that, like, the guy swerved and missed, and he was just like, you're like, whew, you know? And then later, the guy's about to go over the bridge, and it gets washed out.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the beaver
yeah.
cuts the tree down to stop him from going.
Yeah.
And he looks back, and that beaver just pounds his chest and says,
that's for you, dog. Sign, yeah.
But most of the commercials in the last few years have just been kind of lame, and it's just like...
Yeah, there's usually every year there's like one or maybe two really good ones.
It's like Saturday Night Live.
It is a lot like Saturday Night Live.
It's like there's going to be that one or two that are like amazing, and then the rest of them are like, highly mediocre.
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorites, and I think you guys have to agree with this, is the Darth Vader, the kid in the Darth Vader costume commercial.
My favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely one of the ones that everybody knows. With the kid waving his hand in front of the car. The dad starts it with the keyless starter. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But did you see the one that they remade after that? It shows Darth Vader in a bar and these the cantina scene from Star Wars, and they're making fun of that commercial, and the guy starts choking, and he looks over, and it's Darth Vader, and he's like, he's got that impersonation. But they didn't play it enough.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Yes, they made another commercial. It was like a sequel follow-up to where it was the cantina scene from Star Wars. And these guys are looking on the TV at the bar, and they're making fun of that commercial. And all of a sudden, one of them starts choking, and then the camera pans over. It's Darth Vader, like, choking him. Like, don't make fun of that commercial.
The Darth Vader? How can you be sure?
Well, because he didn't have fat rolls hanging out of it. Like the voice Darth Vic. I can't think of his name.
James Earl Jones, man?
Yeah, James. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good job. Very nice.
Now, one of my favorites is when we were talking about Darth Vader commercials. Have you guys seen the Darth Vader doing the GPS commercial?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to play you some audio from that.
I'm thinking you guys are gay because everything I remember about Super Bowl commercials is the original Doritos commercial with Ali Landry. Then I'm thinking the commercials with the GoDaddy girls.
But that GoDaddy crap really started pissing everybody off because you go to the site... And then it's just like, oh, wow, you just wasted that much time in my life. Thank you.
Okay, listen, here's some audio from this Garmin commercial. I know you guys are going to laugh at this. Listen.
Okay, welcome. Is there anything I can get you before we start? Glass of water?
You may
juice?
Dispense with the pleasantries.
He's in a studio recording his voice for the Garmin.
Darth Vader, take one.
You have reached your destination.
Is there any way you could breathe a little quieter?
What do you mean, quieter? This is how I breathe. Exit on the roundabout.
It's roundabout.
Correct. Roundabout.
You're saying roundabout. It's roundabout. Is there any way you can make it sound a little less depressing?
Exit right ahead.
Don't force it.
You should have seen his face when I told him I was his father.
So there you have it, a little bit of that. Anytime that you can get Darth Vader in there and make fun of him, I just think it's absolutely hilarious. Let's see here. Okay, so with the Super Bowl in mind, I have a list here of six things that you can do that are going to irritate the living crap out of whoever's hosting your Super Bowl party. So you can either do this on purpose to make enemies, or you can avoid these six things whenever you go to your Super Bowl party. Everybody's having a Super Bowl party. Are you guys going to one? Is anybody?
We'll probably drink here and do the podcast and watch it. But
right.
I got a question. Is one of these taking an upper decker in the person's bathroom?
That didn't quite make it on this list, but I would have to say if you wanted to make some enemies, that would definitely be a way.
Oh, the old upper decker.
That's a good one. Masturbating in the living room during halftime.
That's, yes. Well, that's the halftime entertainment at my parties usually.
Right.
Why have I not been invited?
Here they are. Number one is don't act like you're an expert on football, food, or the commercials. No one is impressed that you know what a cover two defense is. I hate that. Anybody that starts going on and on about it and going, oh, yeah, right, acting like an expert. Anybody
or somebody that's yelling at the TV. Like I have, we all have a friend, mutual friend. I'm not going to mention his name on here. He's a Chicago Bears fan. But he sometimes he will get very emotional during the game. And like, I can't believe you're running this defense when it clearly didn't work the last play. And you know, I'm just like, dude, it's just football, man. They're a bunch of grown men. They're trying to, you know, kill each other. Come on, watch them. Watch it.
So don't act like an expert, obviously, if you don't want to piss anybody off. Also, leave the remote alone. That is something I cannot stand. When
flipping
somebody
through the channels.
Oh, man. When somebody does not live here or at my house, if I'm the one in charge, you do not touch that remote. That's a no-no. It's a party, but you need to know when to stop talking. Be quiet and watch at least some of the game, even if you're not interested.
That goes for every woman ever.
Number four, you can root for a team, but don't go all super fan. Leave some of your 49ers clothes at home and don't do the Ray Lewis dance every time Baltimore scores. I can think it could be funny the first time somebody gets up and does it, ha ha ha, but if they like are, you know, running rampant, just touchdown after touchdown, I would get sick of it.
I do the Ray Lewis dance a lot, actually. I stand up and then I just stab the shit out of people.
Number five, don't announce that you're on a diet and worry about all the calories in the junk food. It's the Super Bowl. Eat some food, man.
Right.
Yeah, you don't complain at Thanksgiving, do you? Nah, I'm not going to eat that. Meh, meh, meh.
Do you have any gluten-free anything?
And finally, wrapping it up, it's also not cool to announce that, quote, I only watch for the commercials. That's what everyone says, so don't be such a cliche.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just got through talking about how great the commercials are.
We did.
But that, to me, that's part of it. It is commercials.
Yeah, but I'm not going to sit there and everybody get here like, everybody make sure that you shut up during the commercials. You should just put a note on the door that says, rules for entering my Super Bowl party. One, shut up. Two, the commercials will be played. If anybody talks during them, I will throw you out of my party. And three, if your girlfriend talks too much, you and her will have to leave.
Wait, there's the first one you had there, the guy who knows too much, who is, you know, talking about the defense. On the other spectrum, what about the girl that, like, has no freaking
no
clue.
No clue, yes.
No clue.
That's fine, but how about the girl who's trying to prove herself by talking way too much about what she may or may not know?
I hate that, too. We have a mutual friend that's a Steelers fan that did that. Talked an awful lot.
It's like,
the
I'm going to go to the Super Bowl party.
And it was cool when the Cowboys kicked the crap out of them. She went night-night on the couch, which was pretty awesome.
It's not like, you know, they come to the Super Bowl party and then they ask 1,000 questions about football. I don't go to your ballet and go, why is he dancing?
Why is she doing that twirly thing?
What is he wearing?
Is that real?
I can see his ball sack.
I can see her ball sack. What?
All right, that's going to do it for us, ladies and gentlemen. We are done. That's it. That's the first episode, guys.
Once again,
I'm Mike. That's Greg, the Angry Texan. There's Johnny. There's Devin. Thanks a lot for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We had a great time producing it. Check us out at kingsofthepodcastle.com. Shoot us an email, kings@kingsofthepodcastle.com. And be sure to go to iTunes and subscribe. Just go to iTunes, search for Kings of the Podcastle, and click that little subscribe button. Thanks again, everybody, for being here and joining us. We had a great time. We'll see you next week. Adios.
And if Monty Teo's girlfriend's listening, I'm okay.